our help. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, first, I'd like to ask those who wish to make public confession of guilt to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you confess before God and his holy congregation that you have sinned against the seventh commandment? Second, do you acknowledge that this transgression grieves you? And third, do you promise to forsake this sin and the world and to live in a Christian way in the future? And what is your answer, Justin, Amber? Dear friends, what an awful thing is sin. Not in the first place because of the shame before men that we ought to feel, and that ought also to be evident in us in the midst of the congregation in which we dwell. But that is not the most awful part, but that sin that is against the law of God. That is a holy and a righteous and a good-doing God. Why is it that you stand before us, before the congregation, in this morning hour? That is not because we are a priest and that we are able, as the Roman Catholic Church says, to forgive you your sin. No, there is only one and that is able to forgive you your sin, and that is the great high priest. And now we have heard last week about the Valley of Achor, and that was a place where sin was brought out into the open, and that was also confessed. And there may be a door of hope in that Valley of Achor, and we hope that you also together may find such a door of hope in that Valley of Achor. You may sit down. Young people, we wish to say just a word. There was once a teacher, and then he has brought all his children into the prison. And there was a prisoner that spoke to those young people. And he said to them, I was once standing where you are. How hard do you think it is to come in this place? He said, it is not difficult. No, he said, only one thing that you do wrong, and then you come in here. And so he warned them. We read in God's word, Solomon speaks about evil, and he says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Oh, may the Lord keep us from thinking, young and old, that we are beyond sinning, and that we may learn to pray, Lord, keep me from the evil that it may not grieve me, that it may not be a grief unto thee. Let us sing. Psalter 140, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 140. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Hosea, the second chapter, beginning with verse 14 through verse 23. Hosea 2, verses 14 through 23, but first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hosea chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We have an announcement on behalf of the Lethbridge Consistory at the October 24 Annual School Society Meeting. A member of the Lethbridge Consistory accused the school board of lying. This brother has apologized sincerely for having made this accusation, and this apology was wholeheartedly accepted by both the school board and the consistory. Let us acknowledge the Lord for his great goodness. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that we have begun in this morning hour with confessions of sin, here made publicly in thy house, these two young friends. O Lord, remember them. We cannot forgive them from thee. That power is not given unto us. But thou dost say that they may come unto thee. O Lord, we ask of thee. And when it was their desire to come here before the congregation in this morning to publicly confess their sorrow and to say that they have no desire anymore to live in that way. Oh, give to us then all together that we may forgive one another. But that thou may receive it also, Lord, that it may be from their hearts, and that they may receive a place in their secret chambers before thee. And also what we have announced, when this brother also has made a confession, O Lord, remember him too. O that thou may make it good for him and all that are involved, and oh, bring us all together in such a place before thee that we may be able to confess, because by nature we will not confess our sin. No, then we put our hand into our bosom, but we take it not out unclean. No, we will say that I have not sinned. Oh, convert us, Lord. Turn us again, and we shall be turned, and we shall be saved when shines thy face once more. Oh, that thy house may be a place where before thee the hearts and may go out in true confession, that it may be a place where there is sorrow brought before the countenance of the Most High God, that we could not continue in the way that we have been born, but that our turning of our back unto thee and our father Adam, and all that has transpired since that time, that it may be a burden and a grief to each and every one of us. And oh, that thou may reveal unto us thine only begotten Son, in whom thou art well pleased, and in whom there is forgiveness for the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, could we only see a little bit of what our iniquity is, could we only feel a little bit of grief, true grief and sorrow, that true compunction, that true mourning, oh Lord, then there should be hope for us. But look on us, for thou art alone he that is able to give it unto us. We therefore beseech it of thee, from the beginning unto the end, for with us there is no hope, no fruit from this tree henceforth forever. But Lord, wilt thou remember us this day when we are gathered round thy word of truth, and when that word that will be a savor of life unto life, for it will be for us a savor of death unto death. Oh, then we beseech thee in this morning hour, that thou may come from the place where thou dwellest, sending forth the power of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that he may attend with it in this morning hour, to make thy word to be quick, to be sharp, to be powerful, that it may penetrate the hardest of hearts in this morning hour, that there may be truly a smiting upon our breast, and saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, that there may be an alluring of thy Holy Spirit, that the hearts may burn within us after the true and the living God, whom that we have left in paradise, and whom that we have no desire for as we travel on a broad road to an everlasting destruction. O Lord, to whom else can we go but unto thee? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. O give thy word free course among us, amongst the children, the youth, and also the older ones. For we know not what a day may bring forth, and our life that is as hanging upon a thread. And then as we are borne over that pit of hell, oh, that any moment we can drop thereinto, and then to fall into that place that is a bottomless pit, where hope shall never come, where there are nothing but everlasting burnings and an everlasting despair of ever receiving that blessed communion with thee. O Lord, we live in a day of hope. We live in a day of salvation. We live in a day of grace. But we put that day so far from us. Come then by thy Spirit. Make it different this day. Stop us on our mad career. Turn us about again, Lord, and we shall be turned. Remember all thy truly sent servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, give more servants into thy vineyard. Remember a student in the theological school. Oh, give to him a rich measure of thy Spirit, and all that is necessary in the labors day by day, in the studies, that he may be taught from above, and that the time may come that he may go forth also to open his mouth and to tell forth the riches of thy salvation unto a wicked and a perverse and a needy generation. Lord, bless the word of thy servants as they bring thy word over the length and breadth of the whole world. Remember also all the afflicted and the sick ones. Wilt thou give that the physician's remedies and all the care of the nurses and all those that care for them may be blessed and sanctified for the needs of the body, and that the callings also may be sanctified to the heart. Oh, that thou may also be near and dear unto those that are lonely and who day by day miss those whom they love so much. Oh, Lord, they cannot bring them back in this world. And then in this life, then it can be that they are so alone. But, Lord, could it please thee to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that they may experience that underneath are thine everlasting arms. Be with young and old together as we go through this world. When there will be many callings, when there will be many trials, many afflictions, and in many ways thou art saying unto us, turn ye from your evil ways, for why would ye die? Oh, could it please thee then to bless and sanctify those ways, but also thy word. Also in this morning hour, our brother who is laboring in Calgary in this day, oh, keep him over dangerous ways. And wilt thou also give thy blessing in that place? Give it also unto us, Lord. And when in this morning we are called to bring another portion of thy holy word, oh, thou knowest what we are in ourselves and all that we stand in need of. Without thee we can do nothing. Oh, help us then. Give thy word free course. Oh, that thou may open thy word, and that there may be liberty in the speaking. But open thou also our ears. Open thou our hearts, that with the Lydia we of old we may attend to the things that are spoken. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 125, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7 of Psalter 125. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. And we announced that Mr. Braun's catechism class will be canceled tomorrow evening as he must attend the mission board meeting in Chilliwack. Congregation, the words of our text can once more be found in the second chapter of the prophecy of Hosea. Hosea chapter 2, and thereof the 19th and the 20th verses. Hosea 2, verses 19 and 20, "And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord." So far the words of our text, a threefold promise of betrothal. First, the character of this betrothal, "And I will betroth thee unto me forever." Second, the foundation of this betrothal, "Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness." And last, the fruit of this betrothal, "And thou shalt know the Lord." Thus, the threefold promise of betrothal: first, its character; second, its foundation; third, its fruit. "And I will betroth thee unto me." What does that mean, to betroth? Well, Moses, he asks, "What man is there of you who hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her?" Thus, and then he makes a distinction between a betrothal and the taking of a wife. And thus, the betrothal that is very similar in our day to an engagement unto marriage. Marriage, there is no closer union that we can find in this life than marriage. And then we read in God's word that in this union, that two, they are becoming, we read, one flesh. That is an institution not of man, but an institution of the Lord. And therefore, the breaking of that institution of marriage is the breaking of a covenant. That is, as it were, the rending of the institution of the Lord. Thus, it cannot be but a very great sin when we are breaking the covenant of the Lord. That is bringing with it a great guilt. In the Old Testament, that was a guilt that required that a man, that a woman be put to death. But it is not only a great guilt, but that is also bringing with it a great pollution. The Lord says it is a defilement, because the Lord says that she has defiled the land through the lightness of her whoredoms, that is, that adulterous wife. Congregation, how great is that guilt? How great is that pollution that we have incurred upon ourselves in our fall? And when we have broken the covenant of the Lord, and when we have turned our back, as it were, unto our first husband, as we read that it is as a whorish woman, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Whoredom. That is the only valid ground for divorce. That is for a permanent divorce. Thus, we have given unto the Lord in our fall at that ground by which the Lord, He rightly can completely divorce Himself from us. That there is a valid ground, and that the Lord, He says, that I will have no more to do with you. Why? Because of guilt, but also because of pollution. Because the Lord, He is holier than that He is able to look upon and dwell with sin. Thus, the great guilt, the great pollution incurred in our deep fall. And now what do we read? And I will betroth thee unto me. Who? The Lord. Will betroth whom? Or He will betroth that whorish woman. We read, the Lord says, they say, if a man put away his wife and she become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet, return unto me, saith the Lord. Congregation, how is that possible? Is that not actually against the very law of the Lord Himself? We read it in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Thus it is the very law of the Lord Himself that He says, when once there is this defilement, that husband, he may never take that first wife unto himself again. And that to take that wife to him again, that is not only that they themselves would be defiled, but it is a defilement, he says, upon the whole land. How is then it possible? That the Lord, He says, but thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again unto me, saith the Lord. The solution to this is found in the words of our text. Because the Lord says, I will betroth thee. And that word betroth, that is never used in the Bible for the restoration of a former wife unto her husband. But that word betroth, that is always used concerning a first marriage, that is always used concerning the marriage of a man unto his pure virgin. Thus, the Lord does not speak here about the restoration of the old covenant. But the Lord says, I will betroth thee. That means that there is nothing left of that old covenant anymore. And the Lord, He is going to make all things new. And then it will be a new covenant. Paul, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, he says, all things are become new. No. That old covenant, the Lord, he says, that covenant is not fixable. And why is that not fixable? It is not fixable because of the weakness, Paul says, of our flesh. The Roman Catholic Church, they say, first sanctification, and that sanctification unto justification. What does that mean? Well, it is that the Lord, He will first cleanse His people. And when He will cleanse His people, then they are able to work out their own justification. No, that is not from themselves, but is from that sanctification. Thus, first sanctification, and then justification. That is congregation impossible. That is, as it were, to try to fix up an old covenant. But that justification, that needs to be perfect. The standard of God's law, that is so perfect that one sin in thought, word, and deed that makes a man liable to a threefold death. And that sanctification, all God's children know, that is not perfect. No, that is imperfect in this life. So the Apostle Paul says, O wretched man that I am, the good that I would I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do. No, the Lord says. Then it is not possible to do anything more with that old covenant. But what does he say? He says, I will betroth thee. Thus he says, I will begin again. I will make a new covenant. And that new covenant that is opening up a new possibility. That is a possibility that did not exist in that old covenant. And what is that possibility? That is the betrothal of a whorish woman. The law that knows nothing concerning that whorish woman, but penalty. Penalty. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But now the Lord says, I will betroth thee. I will betroth thee unto me. Oh, who can fathom what that now is for that estranged wife? There is in her heart a secret drawing. We have heard it. She does not know where that is coming from. But in her heart, oh, there is that decision. I will go and return. Her way that is hedged up with thorns, with a wall that she cannot pass. The Lord is bringing her into the wilderness. The Lord, He is speaking by times comfortably unto her. We have heard it. The Lord, He is bringing her into that valley of Achor. There her sin that is exposed. There that confession that is made. And there she receives, we heard it, a door of hope. A door of hope in that valley of Achor, where that people may receive a little sight, a little insight, a little entrance into those mediatorial sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there they may sit for a moment, even though if it is seen but far, far away, there they may sit for a moment at the foot of the cross of Christ. O congregation, what is happening there? At the foot of the cross of Christ. O there, the heart that begins for the first time in their life to go out after the Son of God. Oh, many times before, that heart that has longed, that has desired, that has yearned, their heart panting, more than the heart panteth for the water brooks, to return unto God their Maker. But now, oh, that second person, oh, to see, even through the lattice of the Word, to see the smallest sight of Him at the foot of that cross. Oh, there the heart begins to yearn after that blessed Mediator, that blessed Savior. Oh, never was sin seen to be so loathsome as a person when he may sit at the foot of that cross. Oh, never was the heart drawn more unto the living God than when that soul may be given to see just a little of that cross of the Son of God. And then the desire for that communion that is made to burn for the first time in their heart for that blessed Mediator. And now what does the Lord Jesus say? He says to him that hath shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And why? Why? Because he says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Do you believe that, young people? It suffereth violence. The Lord, he says, ask. He says, seek. And he says, knock. And this is now the activity of this people. It is an asking. It is a seeking. It is a knocking. And there is a taking of the kingdom of heaven by force. What do we read in our text? Oh, they take it. The Lord says, I will betroth thee. And he says it not one time. The Lord says it three times. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Three times. I will betroth thee. Why? Why would you say the Lord, he is saying this three times over? Oh, friends, it is because the Lord knows the need in the heart of his people. And what is living there in their heart. Oh, he knows how impossible that it has become from the side of that people. That the Lord, he says it three times. Why? Because the wonder that is so great when the message of the Lord, it is coming, that the Lord says it three times over. Children, you know the history. When the Lord, he came to the wife of Manoah, and then he has spoken of the birth of Samson, and Manoah may hear it from his wife. Oh, that message is coming, but he can hardly believe it. That is a message that to him that is too good to be true. And what is Manoah doing? Then Manoah is going on his knees again. And he is saying, Lord, wilt thou come again? And wilt thou speak unto us again? And wilt thou show us how that we have to order this child? Oh, that is not strange in the life of God's children. When the Lord is speaking, and when they can hardly believe that that wonder would be for their own soul, and that they are going on their knees again to say, Lord, oh, that thou mayst tell it unto me a second time, that thou would tell it unto me the third time, that I may know really the truth of it. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. That is now the character of that new covenant forever. The Lord says, unbreakable. The Lord says it will not be as that old covenant, wherein that possibility lay, and that from one side, and that covenant could be transgressed. And that wife, that she could become a whorish woman, and that she could forsake me for another husband. But I will betroth thee unto me forever. Oh, what a comfort that it becomes for that true church militant in the warfare with a triple-headed enemy, Satan, sin, this world. But that covenant cannot be broken. And why not? Because it has a foundation. That is our second thought. That covenant has a foundation that is lying not in that people, but it is a foundation that is lying, and it is based in the very attributes of God himself. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Congregation, it is a mine. It is as a gold mine. It is as a mine, young people, that we are never able to reach the bottom of. Do you believe that? Oh, it is doctrine. And Luther says doctrine is heaven. Why? Because in that doctrine there are riches that are unknown in this world, and that they are only revealed in that holy word of God, and they are only to be experienced in the betrothing of that true church of God. Oh, that we may be given to study more the doctrine. What does the Lord say? He says, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness
and in judgment.
What does that mean, righteousness? That means to be right. That means to be in the right. And there are two words. That is righteousness and in judgment. And they are pointing to something very similar. But one is pointing in an objective way, that is judgment, and the other that is pointing to what is subjective, thus to be right objectively and to be right subjectively. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment. Thus, objectively, the Lord says, I will do right. I will do it in judgment. That means that I will do it according to my law. That there will be no transgression of my law. You say, how is that possible? That he can betroth unto him, that whorish woman. How is that possible? And when it is against his own law, no, the Lord says, I shall not. But I will do this in judgment and in justice. That law that shall not be able to say anything. When I betroth unto me that whorish woman. No, that law that will not be able to pursue. That law will rest. It will rest. It will be satisfied. There shall nothing from that law be able to curse. No, it is exactly the opposite. That law that shall stand behind it. I shall be able to go to that law to find their justification for what I am doing. When I will betroth unto me this whorish woman, I will betroth thee unto me in judgment. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. That means in a subjective way, the Lord says, I will be right. Not only will I do right, but I will be right. I will be righteous. I will be a righteous judge, and there will not be any contradiction of any of my attributes. They all shall come together to be a support for this deed that I am doing. And not only shall I be righteous, but that whorish woman shall be righteous. When I will betroth her unto me, then she will not be in transgression. And why not? Because I am going to cleanse her. Because I am going to wash her. And I am going to make it as if she is a pure virgin, that she had never known sin. That she was pure white. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment. O congregation, they are attributes with which the church has to do in their life. They have to do with righteousness. They come to have to do with judgment. But it is a people. They cannot see
how that righteousness and judgment, that they could be in one accord with their salvation, to be received again when I have departed, when I have defiled myself, and when I have made myself guilty. And then they can only see, and that the law can say concerning them, that the Lord has to cast them away forever. Oh, they cannot see it. What do they need? Oh, they need the declaration. They need the revelation of that blessed mediator. They need him to open his word. They need him to show unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life all together. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. Oh, that is a way found in eternity when the Lord has asked, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land? Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. Loving kindness and mercies, O congregation, they are the attributes of the Lord that are especially evident in this new covenant. Loving kindness and mercies, especially evident in the betrothing unto himself of this whorish woman. Why do we say especially evident? What does Paul say? For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, mercy. Mercy that is unknown in that first covenant. The law that knows no mercy. And now that loving kindness, where is that coming from? That is not coming from that people. No, that is coming from that first husband. That loving kindness, whereby he is wooing her as a virgin once again unto himself. I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Faithfulness. Oh, that is a word that is thrown around so often. Congregation, let us be careful. In faithfulness. What does that word mean? Oh, that word that has to do with firmness. That word that has to do with steadiness. That word that has to do with steadfastness on the side of the Lord. That has to do with both the promises of the Lord, but also with the threatenings of the Lord. The faithfulness of the Lord. Thus, when we say the Lord is so faithful, what do we mean by that? Then we have to go back to something. We have to go back to a threat. We have to go back to a promise. And I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. That has especially to do with that covenant. And what is it? What does the Lord say? He says that covenant that is so sure, it is so sure that the people, they will no longer be able to sin themselves outside of that covenant. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. That means that I will not only be the Alpha, I will not only be the beginning, but I will also be the Omega. I will be the ending. And no matter what is taking place on the side of the people, then there is on my side a promise. And that promise that shall stand. Oh, I promise that I am going to bear with all her shortcomings and her sin against me until that time that the corruption of the flesh will be done away. And I will receive her again into my own bosom. And there, as she will glorify and magnify all my attributes, let us sing. Psalter 232, 2 and 3. His saving help is surely near to those his holy name that fear. And thus glory dwells in all our land. Now heavenly truth unites with grace and righteousness and peace embrace in full accord. They ever stand 2 and 3 of 232.
Thank you.
and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. That is, congregation, the fruit of that betrothal. Thou shalt know the Lord. We did know him, children. We did know him, didn't we? Because we were created in knowledge, in the image of God, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, then we knew God. Oh, is there ever one that goes in his secret chamber and says, Lord, I knew thee, and now I do not know thee anymore. Oh, could I come to know thee again? And thou shalt know the Lord. We knew him, yes, but actually, the Lord has in his wisdom decreed a higher knowledge of himself than was possible in that first covenant. Full congregation was decreed. The sin of man, not the sin of the Lord. The sin of man, for which he remains responsible, accountable, but it is decreed by the Lord. Because the knowledge of God from that first covenant, that was not the complete knowledge of him. No, there is more. There is more than Adam knew and could have known had he remained forever and forever in that state of innocence. That new covenant that is symbolized here by that marriage bond, that is now the closest union in itself that we have amongst men in this world. And now the word to know, what is that? All that is speaking about the closest union and the closest intimacy that there is in that bond of holy matrimony. When heart, when flesh, when will, all that is all coming together, and when two, and they are becoming one. And our congregation, from this there is fruit. The marriage bond that is the most blessed union that we have in this world. The devil, therefore, he seeks to destroy it. The marriage bond that is between a man and his wife, that union, that intimacy. But now listen for a moment. And we hope that there could be a holy jealousy that is born in the heart of every single one of you. Every single one of you. Oh, is that marriage bond that we have, fathers and mothers, is that precious unto you? Oh, listen here a moment. Listen. Because the Lord says, I will betroth thee unto me, and Thou shalt know the Lord. Thou shalt know the Lord. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That was not in the first covenant. That is only in the new covenant, that they might know thee, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thus, we have the end. We have the purpose of the betrothal of the Lord to that whorish woman. The end, the purpose of that betrothal, that is that the Lord says, oh, I desire to bring her again into the most intimate knowledge and communion with myself, with God, with God. Oh, do we ever think what that is, then not only to be created by him, but to be redeemed by him, and to be brought back, congregation, into a knowledge of God, and into a communion with God, that no other creature in this world is capable of. This is the will and desire of the Lord. And thou shalt know the Lord. You understand. We cannot enter into it, can we? We cannot enter into the riches. We cannot enter into the mystery, eternity, that will be sufficiently long for us to learn the knowledge of God. And in this life, there is only a beginning of that knowledge. Joseph's brothers, they heard from their father in the famine that there was corn in Egypt. Children, what did they know about Joseph then? What did they know about him? That's what we ask, because our text says, and thou shalt know the Lord. Did they know Joseph? They had known him. They sinned against him so grievously. And now they began to learn about him again. And they learned what? Oh, they had to learn that he was their benefactor. He was the one that gave them food. And then they began to learn something of his displeasure. His displeasure. To learn something about their own sin. Oh, to learn also even something about his knowledge of them, even though they cannot understand it when he is placing them all in order. But then they learn something about him. And thus slowly on. And how is he leading them? He is leading them in a way of judgment, in a way of justice. To what? Oh, to the knowledge of himself. He is not revealing it right away, but that is where he wants to bring them. He wants to bring them into the knowledge, into the communion with him. And so what is he doing? He is bringing them into that valley of Achor. There their sin comes out. There that is all exposed. And there they make a confession. And there, oh there, he gives them the knowledge of himself. He reveals himself to them. He says, I am Joseph. Oh, what did they learn there? That is our brother. That is our brother. Do you know what they learned there? That he had bowels of mercies and of loving kindnesses. When his bowels yearned upon his brethren, they never dreamt of it. That angry viceroy, not a stitch of compassion in him. And here they learn the bowels of mercies, and that are living inside of their brother. Thus he brings them to a greater knowledge, a higher knowledge of himself. And thou shalt know the Lord. Oh, how precious, congregation, is the knowledge of him. That is his purpose. To lead himself, to lead his church to that knowledge of himself and all his attributes. Then they learn to know him in the beginning, a little bit. Oh, they learn to know him as he that is just and the justifier of the ungodly, both in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies and in faithfulness. I will even betroth thee unto me. Oh, they learn to know him in his wisdom. We sang of it together. As he in whom mercy and truth are met together, in whom righteousness and peace, they have kissed each other. Oh, they learn to know him, not as one who fixes the old covenant, but they learn to know him as one who makes a new covenant, who betroths, who says that I have cast all thy sins behind my back, all thy sins into the depth of the sea. Oh, they learn to know him in his love. I will even betroth thee unto me. A betrothal that is founded in love. No, not in their love, but in his love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, they learn to know him in the bowels of mercies. Oh, that he receives them again, that he is not angry with them anymore, that he says, I am Joseph, I am your brother, come near unto me. Come near unto me. And that's what we read. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and he wept upon them. And afterwards he talked with them. Oh, blessed, blessed, blessed communion. What does Solomon say? He says, he brought me into the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. And they shall know the Lord. And they shall know him
in his provision, because that came next also with Joseph. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil. And they shall hear Jezreel. There shall be nothing lacking. Nothing. Not for body. Not for soul. All shall be taken care of by him who has betrothed her unto himself. And they will learn of him in his protection, in his provision, in everything wherein a husband is duty bound unto his lawful wife. All they will learn of him in his goodness, in his kindness, in his long suffering, they will learn to know him as never an angel in heaven has learned to know him. Why? Because she is the bride, the Lamb's wife, and thou shalt know the Lord. O congregation, blessed knowledge, blessed communion. Here it is in part because Paul says, for now we see darkly as through a glass, but then face to face. Now he says we know in part, but then he says we shall know even as we are known. O congregation, that there may be a desire, that there may be a longing, a holy jealousy born in the heart of each and every one. When we know nothing of this knowledge of the Lord, oh, that before the day of our death, that we may come to this knowledge. And when we know the first parts, when we cannot deny the first beginning, oh, that we may seek to know the completion, that we may seek to know the end of it. And I will sow her, he says, unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my people. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, teach us this knowledge. Then we must be led. We must be led as thou hast shown it unto us out of thy word. From that place where we are by nature, in our rejection of thee, all to that place where we may come to know thee again. Remember us. Give holy desire for this blessed portion to be born in the heart of the youngest child and of the oldest together. Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely to our places, over dangerous ways, and together again in this afternoon hour. Help him that goes before us. For Jesus' sake, amen. 422, 1, 2, and 5. My mouth shall sing for thee thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I thy faithfulness record. And what follows in 1, 2, and 5 of 422.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessings.